Hello, and welcome to the TAA Audio Conference, First Time Authors, An Inside Look at Journal Publishing, with Dr. Danielle Joy Davis. Danielle is an Associate Professor of Educational Leadership, Policy, and Law at Alabama State University. She has studied and conducted research in Ghana, South Africa, Egypt, Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium. Her interdisciplinary K-20 research examines the experiences of marginalized groups in educational settings and the role of organizational policy and practice in the promotion or inhibition of egalitarian academic and occupational outcomes. She has published over 20 refereed journal articles, book chapters, academic commentaries, volumes, and reviews. Danielle serves as an associate editor for Learning for Democracy, an international journal of thought and practice, which is sponsored by the American Educational Research Association Special Interest Group, Democratic Citizenship in Education. Danielle will be giving us an inside look at how journal editors view first-time authors. Thank you. Hello, Danielle. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Hello.
So let's start by talking about how journal editors generally view those seeking to publish their first journal article. Are you wary of new authors, welcoming and nurturing of them? Does your journal in particular provide any tools, guidelines, or advice for new journal authors?
Well, I believe that no journal editor is monolithic. All journal editors vary depending upon their own philosophy on the publishing process. However, the majority of editors and journals that I've worked with have had a mentoring outlook in terms of the way that they've worked with authors. And similarly, Learning for Democracy, the journal I work with as associate editor, also has a strong mentoring orientation, and that can be seen in terms of its website, where the review rubric, what the reviewers use to evaluate the various manuscripts, that is online, as well as detailed submission requirements. So all those are available online to assist authors, and new authors are definitely welcome.
So what do you see as the most common mistakes new academic authors make when submitting their first journal article?
I think one mistake is repeating the publish or perish mantra to themselves. And I view that as a mistake in that when you think to yourself, publish or perish, generally when individuals are thinking along those lines in terms of their work, emotions that come up are fear, anxiety, and all of these negative emotions. So one thing that I have done to counter those negative emotions is to replace publish or perish with the idea that I do good work, I do good research, and my research is useful, and that definitely there's bound to be a publication and journal out there that's willing to share my work. So just changing that mindset is very useful. Another common mistake that authors generally have, new authors have, is often they lack resilience in the publishing process. Many times when they may face rejection, they may choose not to even revise their work and send it out. That rejection alone will put them in such a negative space that they don't even pursue other outlets for publishing. So I think that a lack of resilience and persistence is another common mistake that new authors sometimes face. Another common mistake is sometimes new authors don't seek editors' advice prior to publication. One very good thing to do prior to submitting your work is often to just simply email editors and say, hey, I have this idea, and not to give a detailed listing of what's in the article itself, but just briefly state your idea to the editor and see whether or not that would be a good fit for that journal. Often editors are very open to this because, in essence, it saves their time, it saves your time, and if it is a good fit, potential fit, they will encourage you to submit your article formally. Another common mistake is often new individuals do not cite journals they are submitting to. So it's very important to cite the particular journal that you're wishing to be published in, because that shows that you're familiar with the work of that journal and the work of other authors who are affiliated with that journal. So that also strengthens your likelihood for being published. In addition, often new authors, and this is related to the lack of resilience factor that I mentioned earlier, often new academic authors do not follow up if they hear nothing over time. And this is a real mistake. For instance, there are new authors who may not hear anything from a journal after 6 months. They may not hear anything from a journal after a year, and just assume that that journal is not interested. They just assume that that lack of communication is a form of rejection, when actuality, journals are run by humans, and there's room for human error, of course. I know from my own experiences, I've had experiences where I've waited about a year or sometimes more for a journal's feedback, didn't receive any feedback, and when I called the editor, they apologized profusely and thanked me for calling them because their computer crashed and information was lost and they didn't know how to contact me, or there was turnover within the journal. For instance, there was a new editor on board and that new editor didn't get the information from the prior editor, and that in essence my work was accepted, but because of that lack of communication or that human error factor, I was not communicated with. So that's just one example of how important it is to follow up with editors, even if you don't hear anything, and to follow up with them in a polite, respectful manner. Also, some new authors tend to take rejection personally. Now, I know it's really hard to not take rejection personally, but when you think about it from an editor's perspective and the journal's issue of fit, all editors are trying to do is trying to find the best fit and best match in terms of manuscripts for their specific journal. And even if a piece is very well written, if the piece has little to do with the journal itself, or if there's some other issue that causes a problem in terms of the fit with that journal, it doesn't minimize the intellectual rigor of the piece. It doesn't minimize the quality of writing of the piece. It just simply means that that piece should probably be submitted to another place. So that's another thing that I think new authors often forget, and that it's not personal, that it's just an issue of fit and making sure that you place your work in the journal that best reflects the topic.
So what are some good ways to select a journal article to publish your article?
Well, one thing that I use that's been very helpful for me is Cabell's and Ulrich Web. Both of these are databases that contain a number of journal possibilities that authors could use. And both of them have their strengths from my perspective, but I think one particular strength that Ulrich Web has, and you spell that U-L-R-I-C-H-apostrophe F, Web, is that in that database, there are literally over 200,000 potential publishing opportunities in that database alone from a variety of different fields, national journals, international journals, refereed journals, and as well as non-refereed, but as academics we focus on the refereed journals. There are literally thousands of opportunities available. And one thing that really helps me, particularly in the publication process, is if I am faced with a rejection, one thing that helps me move beyond that rejection is knowing that there are literally thousands of other publishing possibilities available that I can use to publish my work. It's not 10, it's not 20, it's literally thousands. So just knowing that really puts me in a higher frame of mind and boost confidence and really propels me to continue to move forward even in the face of rejection.
So how can new authors use the peer review process as a learning tool?
Well, first and foremost, I think that new authors should recognize that in the editor's role, they should think of that editor as a virtual mentor in a sense, and use the comments that they receive, whether those comments are in terms of a revise and resubmit, or even if those comments are for improving a work that that journal actually is rejecting, that you use those comments to improve your own work and to improve your own writing. Another thing I would encourage new authors to do is to notice patterns in terms of the critiques that they receive from various editors, because over time, the more you publish, you're going to start noticing a pattern in the editor's responses. Oftentimes, you may be receiving the same feedback from various editors. For instance, early on when I started publishing years ago, I noticed that many times when I submitted my work, editors would always ask, "What is the intent of your work? What is the intent of your work?" Many of them asked this. So I recognized this as a pattern, and basically from then on, said, whenever I send something out, I need to make sure that my intent for each paper is very clear. So in essence, I was learning from these past editors that this is something as a writer that I need to make clear. And now it's to the point where generally editors don't say that anymore because I make my intent so clear, so crystal clear that there's no doubt about what my intent for each manuscript is. So in essence, learn from the critiques and inform your future writing from those critiques. Also, know that also these bits of information can not only inform your writing, but your teaching as well, because I've realized that some of the great feedback that I've received from editors are things that not only I improve in my own writing, but I share with my students as well to make sure that they don't repeat the same mistakes in their writing. So use the editorial process as strictly a professional development tool.
There's a lot of discussion about A journals and B journals and eligibility for tenure. How is it possible to identify journals as such, A or B?
Well, generally, journals who are affiliated with prestigious academic organizations tend to be considered A journals. For instance, I'm in the field of education, and the major research association for education is the American Educational Research Association, AERA. That's the premier research association in my field. And that organization has a host of journals that they sponsor. Those are considered A journals in my field. And like education, many other fields, you know, such as history, sociology, have their own prestigious conferences and related journals, and those tend to be A journals as well. So one indication I would recommend are looking at the journal sponsored by your field's major academic organization. Also, journals who are considered A journals tend to have a pretty low acceptance rate. In other words, generally the acceptance rate is well below 10%. And you can find out acceptance rates either simply by just calling the editor and asking, or in databases such as Cabell's, they actually list the acceptance rate of each journal. So this is another indicator of A versus B journals. Another way to find out is just simply asking senior prolific scholars in your particular field. You know, if they're senior and if they've been publishing long enough, I'm sure that they would know for your field which are considered the A versus B journals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is it helpful to act as an article reviewer in order to get published?
Well, it is helpful in the sense that you often know the rubric that reviewers are using to assess the manuscript, so that's always helpful. Not all journals will place the reviewer rubrics on their website. So by serving as a reviewer, you're getting inside information on what reviewers for that particular journal are finding as valuable and how they're critiquing each particular manuscript. So that's particularly useful, yes.
What advice do you have for authors on generating writing?
In terms of generating writing, I think the main piece of advice that I would share is to write and do research daily. There's so much research out there that indicates the importance of writing daily and doing research daily. You know, everything from the pivotal work of Robert Boyce to other more recent scholars point to the importance of writing daily. So, and I'm understanding through my own reading that that can vary in terms of how much. There are some scholars who say that even 15 minutes a day will increase your productivity as a scholar. Many hold that the minimum would be 30 minutes a day. But whatever you ascribe to, I think the key element is consistency as opposed to only writing in large chunks when you're inspired. And that brings me to another element, the idea of being inspired to generate writing. That does happen, but it does not always happen. In other words, we don't always feel inspired to write. And in academe, writing is a key part of our work. So sometimes we need to write daily to get beyond the idea that I have to feel inspired to write. In essence, you're sitting down for 30 minutes a day and saying, I may not feel inspired at the moment, but for this 30 minutes, I'm going to put something on paper. Or for this 30 minutes, I'm going to at least come up with one paragraph on this computer. So those are some ideas that I have for generating writing that I hope are useful.
Thank you, Danielle. As a published author yourself, can you share your experience from the other side as an author submitting an article? And what have you learned about the process after 20 successful publications?
Well, one thing that I've learned about the process that I firmly believe that there really is a home for every manuscript. There really is. And again, I'll go back to Cabell's and and Urich Webb, I actually was sharing Cabell's with some students recently, and we just simply typed in the words higher education. And when we typed in higher education, literally 101 potential journals to submit to popped up. So when you think about how many journals there are out there, and these are strong journals. These are referee journals. These are journals often with low acceptance rates. There are plenty of them out there. When you think about how many journals are out there who are looking for fine manuscripts, you really do come to the conclusion that every potential article does have a home in a journal, and that as authors, it's our job to find where that journal is. And sometimes that takes persistence, you know. Sometimes it may not happen within 6 months. I think the longest that one manuscript that I have had written that has, in terms of publishing, how long it took to actually get in print, it took about 5 years. And that took a lot of persistence. I could have easily said, oh, you know, there's no use, and oh, it's been rejected 3 times, you know, I'm going to give up. But again, you know, I kept thinking to myself, you know, there are thousands of journals out there, excellent journals, and this journal, this piece is going to find a home. And it finally did. It took 5 years, but it finally did have a home. So I think that persistence is really key in the game, and being tenacious is very key. Another thing I think is very important is to block destructive criticism. Because sometimes when we are rejected, not all academics have the best social skills. And because of that, sometimes in their criticism, they may use words that are more hurtful and personal than actually constructive. So one thing that I have learned is that to literally white out destructive criticism, but to keep the criticism in reviews that are actually going to move the work forward, to make those changes and then get it right back out the door to another potential publishing site. Another thing that I've learned is to write and revise even if at the moment I don't feel like it. And I say that because, again, sometimes as writers we do get discouraged, but it's so important to continue to write and revise even in the midst of rejection and to send it out. And finally, I've just learned to enjoy the creative process and to learn to view the publication process as really a form of professional development, because the writing and publication process, it's informed not only my research, but it's also informed my teaching as well. I think of research and teaching as intertwined. So, again, it's a very enjoyable process, and I think that if you view it from that stance, you ultimately end up being more productive as opposed to viewing the publication process as something as intimidating and as frightening.
First-time authors, an inside look at journal publishing, is an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.